Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. You probably saw that Las Vegas Raiders head coach John Gruden resigned after old emails came out showing his use of homophobic, racist, and misogynistic language. Jimmy Fallon said, "Oh, Lord, you know how bad it's got to be to get kicked out of Las Vegas? They've got no rules there, Trevor Noah. Usually, if a coach is fired, the team was playing really, really badly, like the cheerleaders were rooting for the other team bad, Kimmel. The emails were so offensive, the Raiders almost made him offensive coordinator." Kimmel. "You know you screwed up when you're not fit to coach a team whose fans dress like actual demons, Kimmel. You know the Raiders are known for being an unorthodox team, but this is the ugliest thing to come out of that organization since their owner's haircut, which is saying something." So Gruden, of course, apologized. He said he never meant to hurt anybody and that if he had known these emails were going to be published in the newspaper, he definitely would not have written or sent them. In a statement, Gruden said, "I apologize. My 19,000 offensive emails are not who I am." Larry David was on Jimmy Kimmel and recalled how Jimmy Kimmel had recently invited Larry David to a dinner at Jimmy Kimmel's house. Larry David showed up and then stood around annoyed because he couldn't get inside. Turned out he'd showed up on the wrong day while Jimmy Kimmel was at a funeral. Larry David then bailed on the actual dinner date. When Jimmy Kimmel texted Larry David to say he was at a funeral, Larry David wrote back, "Holy S, ha ha ha." Larry David told Kimmel, "I got it up once to do it," and then looked at the audience and said, "I don't really know him that well." Hey, congratulations to William Shatner on going to space. I bet we'll see a bunch of jokes about that in the next few days. One from Mark K. Altman, not a comedian. He hosts a couple podcasts I love, Inglourious Trekspurts and the 430 movie. But he tweeted, "Bezos and Bill, a new sitcom coming to Amazon Prime this fall. What happens when a wacky billionaire teams up with an eccentric actor to solve crimes? I'd watch the hell out of that." Bill Burr hasn't even wrapped up his 2021 tour, but he's announced the 2022 tour. It is called the Slight Return Tour. 24 dates kicking off April 1st in Reading, Pennsylvania. He's heading east, south, west, and Canada. He wraps it up August 27th in Saratoga Springs, New York. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. local time. In The Hollywood Reporter, Leslie Goldberg asks, "Ted Lasso has become a breakout hit for Apple, creating a problem." What's the problem? They had only planned to do 3 seasons, and 2 of them have already ended. Bill Lawrence was on another podcast that I listen to every week. It is called TV's Top 5. Leslie Goldberg is one of the co-hosts, along with the great Daniel Feinberg. Big fan. Bill Lawrence told the Top 5ers, "I'd love to keep the show going, but it's only going to keep going as long as Jason Sudeikis feels like it's a cool thing for him, not only to do creatively and professionally, but personally. People forget he's a dude with 2 kids and he's a great dad, and upping your life to London for half the year is tricky." The Hollywood Reporter reminds us, with streaming, the aftermarket for lucrative international deals has evaporated. That's part of the reason it makes sense for Sudeikis and Lawrence to have pitched and created a 3-season plan for Ted Lasso. Storylines like, spoilers, Nate's transformation from season 1 to season 2 were all mapped out in an early stage. When we started, we plotted out everybody's beginning, middle, and end of a 3-season arc. The story's going to be over next year regardless, even if the show finds another story to tell and goes on. Not mentioned in this article, but I did listen to the podcast. They asked Bill Lawrence, "Is there a version of Ted Lasso without Ted Lasso?" Bill did not close the door on that idea. From a Lad Bible, a man claims he looks so much like Ricky Gervais that people heckle him on the street. I don't know about this. I posted the guy's picture on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Daily Comedy News Podcast. Just go on to Facebook and search for Daily Comedy News Podcast. You'll find the group. Matthew Walker, he's from Kent. He's put up with it for years since Ricky Gervais burst on the scene back in 2001. While working as a photographer, Matthew Walker's even heard passersby say, "There's David Brent taking photos." Matthew doesn't really see it himself, but his fiancée Annette finds it amusing regardless. Matthew said, "People always point at me and call me Ricky in a jokey way. It's been going on for years. I went on a holiday and a Greek waiter said I reminded him of a comedian, so I immediately knew who he meant. And for the rest of the 3 weeks, he called me Ricky and had a laugh to himself. I'm a photographer." So people will say, "Look, they got David Brent taking the photos." Or they'll start saying, "I remind them of someone," and I immediately know what they're going to say. "I don't see it myself, but Annette thinks it's great. Annette thinks it's funny when I come home and tell her someone at the Tills at Sainsbury's just said, 'You know who you really remind me of?'" His apparent Gervaisness came to the attention of Ricky Gervais himself after his sister shared a photo of him on Twitter. Ricky Gervais liked it. So check this guy out. I mean, yeah, he kind of looks like the Ricky Gervais, but, you know, it's not like a clone or anything. Later today, Times Square as well. Maybe not later today. Maybe you listen to this really late. Sometime on Thursday, October 14th, 2021, depending on when you listen to this, might be later today, might be 10 years ago. I don't know. But on that day, Times Square's biggest billboard was going to display for 10 minutes subversive satirical messages criticizing Australia for its inaction on the climate crisis. The campaign is the brainchild of Australian comedian Dan Illick. He raised $140,000 through a fundraising campaign titled Joke Keeper, which aims to ridicule fossil fuel supporting parties in the upcoming federal election. He said the idea came to him while watching the Australian government respond to the pandemic with a gas-fired recovery. All these people decided the best way to beat COVID was to build a gas pipeline. I think that was the moment where I said, hold on, maybe this government doesn't give an F about us at all. Australians want to be proud of our position in the world, and this government gives us no reason to. So on Thursday evening in Times Square, New York, you will see on the screen some new slogans, including cuddle a koala before they're extinct, limited time offer, and dear world, yeah, look, sorry about our government bull-essing about our emissions targets, signed Australia. The campaign even caught the attention of Russell Crowe, who highlighted it on his Twitter account. Now, this is where it gets like John Oliver kind of funny. Russell Crowe tweeted, hey, Jake Tapper, have you seen this? What is going on? From the New York Times, a highway road sign in England featuring symbols similar to the ones that appear in Squid Game has nothing to do with the show. The police have reassured motorists, pay no attention to the square, circle, and triangle. Don't worry about that. The sign along the M4 highway near Slough, about 25 miles west of London, included a diversion, and the New York Times says, or detour in American English, not an entrance to the game in the dystopian South Korean survival drama. I also posted this on the Facebook group. Facebook.com/group/Daily Comedy News Podcast. The sign featured the outlines of a triangle, a square, and a circle, along with an arrow indicating the next exit. The sign's pretty funny. According to a guide to traffic signs from Britain's Department for Transport, the shapes are used individually to indicate an emergency detour. It's unclear how drivers would have understood that the combination of symbols with no words signaled a detour. A spokesperson for the Slough Borough Council said the council had no responsibility for the sign, which was put in place by Highways England, the agency that oversees major roads. Spokeswoman Kate Bratt said, as much as Slough likes to be at the forefront of new trends, we can promise there is no Squid Game in our town. And TikToker Yungmi Meyer posted a 13-second video that touches on how non-Asian people might feel compelled to dress up as their favorite characters from Squid Game for Halloween. She gives her confirmation that it's okay. The video then cuts to a non-Asian character in a cheap wig, taping their eyes upward to appear more slanted. Meyer, who also hosts the Feeling Asian podcast, has a video caption that says, "It's totally okay to put on a tracksuit and a wig, just don't get racist with it." Meyer's skit followed her mega viral TikTok video from September 30th, where she explains some of those questionable English translations behind Squid Game. Now, you know me, you know how I love TikTok, right? That video has over 12.8 million views. I'm just going to sit here in my basement reading stories about Dave Chappelle to not quite that many listeners. Paul F. Tompkins tweeted, just watched The Closer. That's Dave Chappelle's special in case you haven't been paying attention. Just watched The Closer. And if you've been told you need to watch the special in order to understand where he's coming from, I can assure you that you really don't. You got it already. From the New York Times, a transgender Netflix employee who was suspended after she criticized a new Dave Chappelle stand-up said she's being reinstated. Tara Field wrote on Twitter, at the very least, I feel vindicated. In her Twitter post, she included correspondence with the company, which said she was being fully reinstated. Our investigation did not find that you joined the QBR meeting with any ill intent, and that you genuinely didn't think there was anything wrong with seeking access to the meeting. Additionally, when a director shared the link, it further supported that this was a meeting you should attend. Field added in her tweet, gonna take a few days off to decompress and try to figure out where I'm at. The New York Post says Netflix's trans employee resource group is still moving forward with a planned walkout next week, October 20th. The Verge has an internal memo that says trans lives matter, trans rights matter, and as an organization, Netflix has continually failed to show deep care in our mission to entertain the world by repeatedly releasing content that harms the trans community and continually failing to create content that represents and uplifts trans content. We can and must do better. From Yahoo, comedian Damon Wayans told TMZ that the latest Dave Chappelle Netflix special freed the slaves. Damon Wayans said, "The comedians, we were slaves to PC culture. As an artist, he's Van Gogh with his ear off. He's trying to tell us it's okay." Wayans said, "I've always been free. All that I have, I'm not afraid to lose it for the sake of freedom of speech. You can't edit yourself. Comedians, we're like, Mercedes makes a great car, but they got to crash a lot of them before they perfect it." Asked about the backlash about the closer, he said, "I can't speak about the content of the show, but what I say is there's a bigger conversation we need to have. Someone needs to look us in the eye and say, you're no longer free in this country. You're not free to say what you want. You say what we want you to say. Otherwise, we will cancel you. That's the discussion we need to have." Wayans said Chappelle is a unicorn and amazing. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Instagram @Daily Comedy News, and the aforementioned Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast. See you here tomorrow.